Beruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. We are continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are done with the words Eshet Chayil. We're going to go to the next two words. It says Mi Yimtza. Simply translated, the words are saying, who can find an Eshet Chayil? The message seems to be that she is someone rare and very hard to find. It's not a great start when a woman hears at the beginning of a perek that Shlomo HaMelech wrote about the qualities of a great woman, where the first two words or the first few words say, by the way, this person is very rare, very hard to find. I imagine for a woman reading this, it doesn't feel so good. I'd like just to focus on the simple reading of the words perhaps are saying the exact opposite. You see, if it was focused on the woman, it should have said, Eshet Chayil, he metziah. She is rare. He nedira. Nadir in Hebrew means something hard to find. The focus should have been on her. But we see here that the focus is on the person looking for her. It's not that she's rare. Mi yimtza. It's a claim on the husband. Who knows how to find the Eshet Chayil in his wife? It would seem that every woman has a side to her that's called an Eshet Chayil. But there has to be someone who is looking for it. A, he has to know what he's looking for. And he has to know how to bring it out. Eshet Chayil mi yimtza. It's not talking about a tragedy that women don't have that capability. It's talking about a major tragedy, a bigger tragedy, that the Eshet Chayil is right there in front of him, but he doesn't know how to find it. He doesn't know how to bring it out. In a generation where noise is sanctified, fame is sought after, external accomplishment, money, is what people consider success, it's very hard to look for the qualities in the Eshet Chayil that make her such a great woman. Whatever we're going to be learning about, and whatever we've learned till now, had very little to do with external attributes, had very little to do with noise or fame. It had everything to do with something real and internal, something invisible, something of real quality. But in our generation, mi yimtza, who is capable of looking for those qualities when they're searching for a woman to marry, and when they did marry that person, who knows what they're looking for? If Shlomo HaMelech in his generation says, Mi yimtza, I'm having a hard time finding someone who knows how to look for the right qualities in the woman he's going to marry. How much more so in our time can we say that this is a Mi yimtza type of challenge? The world out there gives respect and value to a good job, to a fat bank account, to dress and looks and hair and makeup. Each one of those things may have their place. But in our world, that's what takes up most of the space. In such a world, it's not mi yimtza, it's not rare, it's impossible to find an eshet chayil. Shlomo HaMelech is turning to every single man and says, you're the leader of the home. As the leader of the home, it is your job to bring out the eshet chayil in your wife. It is your job to bring out the eshet chayil in your daughters. It is your job to make sure your sons understand what a truly great woman is. The streets aren't going to make it easy because they put on the billboard everything opposite of what you're needing to look for. You got a big job, Mr. Leader, Mr. Husband, Mr. Father. Eshet Hayil Mi Yimtza. We're putting you through a challenge. You have an Eshet Hayil daughter. She's 1 year old. She's an Eshet Hayil. Every woman has the qualities of an Eshet Hayil. Who can find it and bring it out? That's what we've been doing here for the last few weeks. We're first trying to identify what is an Eshet Chayil. So many people, so many thousands and thousands of people are taken away by these classes of the Eshet Chayil. And if you think about it, we're not saying very deep things. We're saying very simple things. But in this world that we're in, a lot of the things we're talking about seem like, wow, I wish I knew that. I wish someone told me 30 years ago that. The first step is to at least recognize what we're looking for. Whether we're the woman that's looking for her Eshet Chayil qualities. And I say time and time again, this class is just as important for men. To know what to look for and to lead their families into those qualities. Some explain beautifully along these lines, Eshet Chayil Mi Yimtza Verachok Mipeninim Michra. Talking to the husband, that this deal that you're making to get married is very far from the deal that you make to buy pearls. When you buy pearls, it's about money, it's about looks. But this acquisition is Rahok Mipeninim. You better be very far away from the kind of deal that you made at the jewelry store. In the jewelry store, you only look for what looks nice. Rahok mipeninim mechra, what you're looking for is very far away from that. I'm going to share with you an important principle that's going to go a very long way in all the important areas of life. The way Hashem created this world, before it was created, He designed the world where everything in the physical world has a value. It's obvious to us that's the world that we live in. But we have to remember that the Creator thought about it before there was a world. And He decided that in this world, every physical item will have a value. How would the people of this world determine the value of something? There's a chair, and there's a pen, and there's a couch, and there's a ring, and there's a house, and there's land, and there's an airplane, and there's a car, and a bike. How will people determine the value of an item? So the way the Creator designed the world is that it's going to be worth as much currency as someone is willing to pay for it. According to the amount of money that someone is willing to pay for my house, that's how much my house is worth. That's the value of my house. How much will you pay for the chair? That's the value of the chair. Everything has a value. And the value is determined by how much someone will pay. What about in the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, there are also values. There's the value of wisdom. There's the value of patience. There's the value of kindness. And many more values in the spiritual, invisible world. Clearly, if the Creator made a world of physical items that have value, it was to open our mind that just like physically there are things that are valuable, there are other things in the spiritual world that are also valuable. And the question is, what is the true value of a spiritual accomplishment? How much is it worth? How much could you buy it for? How much value will you get out of it? A person has been angry for 50 years and one day wakes up and realizes this is not the way. I'm going to become a patient, calm person. How much is it going to cost him to become such a person? A person wakes up one morning and realizes they're ignorant. They may know about the stock market and world politics, but about real life and wisdom, they are ignorant. They know nothing about wisdom, or very little. And they decide, you know something? I need wisdom. Where do they get that from? How much will it cost them? Of course, the answer is, it's not that kind of thing. You cannot go to the store and buy humility. You cannot acquire wisdom with a bank account. It's not for sale and you don't have enough money to buy it. So here we have a whole world of values, but the question is, what is the value? How do I measure the value of an invisible spiritual accomplishment? Currency will work for physical. What is the currency for spiritual values? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says the most beautiful idea, it's really a life-changing idea, and he proves it. I'm going to say it in my own words. Imagine two people are sitting and learning an hour of Gemara, an hour of Humash, an hour of Chokhmah, of wisdom. How much value will they get from that hour? We call that reward. In this world, the next world, I'm going to call it value. How much am I getting out of that hour? You listen to a shiur for an hour. How much are you going to get? What value are you going to get? How much is it going to do for you that hour? This question could be asked on learning Torah, on kindness, on any mitzvah. How much is a mitzvah? How much is a midah, an acquired characteristic? So he says that the value of a spiritual achievement is measured by the amount of kavod, by the amount of honor that you give that achievement. It's very personal when it comes to spiritual achievements. It's not, there's no market price. It's very individualized. That means two people are sitting and learning the same daf of Gemara. How much will they get from that daf? How much will they get from that hour? It depends on their honor for what they're learning. According to the kavod that they give that Gemara and that wisdom, that's how much it's going to do for them. So each one will have a different value for what they're doing. How much will a person get out of their tefillah? Tefillah, Hazal tell us, is berumo shel olam. It is a most powerful act of connection to Hashem. On many levels, it's powerful. On getting what we need, on building a relationship, and more. Berumo shel olam. It is from the highest of achievements. How much does your tefillah add up to? What's the value of your amidah? Unlike the physical world, where there's a market value, when it comes to tefillah, it's going to depend on your kavod for tefillah. How much do you honor your tefillah? How seriously do you take it? How do you dress when you pray? How do you focus? Do you realize you're standing in front of the Creator and talking to Him? Your investment and your honor for tefillah will make your tefillah greater for you. According to the kavod, according to the honor, that's how much you will get from it. How much will you get out of your rabbi? How much value will he bring to your spiritual, invisible life? Answer is, according to the honor that you give your rabbi. The more honor you give him, the more value there is for you. So two people are listening to the same rabbi. He's the rabbi of both, but it doesn't mean they will get the same value. It is that way in every spiritual accomplishment. Not everybody doing the same thing spiritually is benefiting the same way. When I sit on a chair that's worth $200, it's the same chair for every person worth $200. But an amidah could be very, 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 very personal and very distant from one to the other. In a mashal, this one got a palace for his tefillah, and this one got a hut. The same prayer, the same words. How come? I spend 5 minutes just like him, 10 minutes just like him. It's according to the kavod. How much do you honor what you do? You sit and pray and you talk to your friends while you're praying. Okay, that's not really so much kavod. It's not a nice thing to do. So then your tefillah is something, but it's not that valuable. Can't compare it to someone who's focused, blocks out everything. We have a meeting now. Next half hour, can't talk to me. Anybody calls, I'll call them back. That's called kavod. You have a meeting with the creator of the world. How much will you get from your parents? Your parents have a lot to give you. Much more than some money and some food. They have life lessons to share with you. They care about you more than anybody else in the world. How much will you get out of your parents? How much value? Answer is according to the honor you give them. In fact, in the Torah, you'll see anyone or anything that you can get something out of it, the Torah commands us to honor. Honor your parents, honor your rabbi, honor the elder, honor the shul, honor the Beit HaMikdash. Whenever there's some value for you to grab on, you got to honor it. Kavod is a very big deal. Again, it's the way we speak, the way we dress, the way we focus, depending on what we're doing. That's the rule that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Alav HaShalom, gives. How does he know that? What's his proof? That in the spiritual world, it's not just one price for all. It's the same tefillah, it's the same daf gemara, it's the same check amount that I wrote and he wrote. How does he know? He brings the most beautiful proof. The famous story of Yaakov and Esav. Esav has a very precious, valuable birthright. Bechorah. This birthright gives him the responsibility and the capability and the assignment of tremendous accomplishments. Our people who bought that birthright have shown what that Bechorah can do for a nation. What our nation has accomplished in the last 3,300 years is breathtaking, unbelievable, amazing. And more. Esav had that birthright. And he sold it to Yaakov. Yaakov bought it from him in exchange for a bowl of soup. Now, in the laws of buying and selling, if a person overcharges 1/6 more than the price, or a person underpays 1/6 less than the price, the halakha says that the sale is invalid. Mekah ta'ut. It's as if it never happened. No sale. So the question is, how can a bechora that has value, that has no limit, how can it be a valid sale when the one who paid for it gave a bowl of soup? How does that work? Can a bowl of soup be a payment for a diamond ring? Can a bowl of soup be a payment for a 40-by-100 home? How can a bowl of soup be a valid payment for a bechorah? That's a big question. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, but I gave you the rule. How much is the bechorah worth? What is the value of the bechorah? Oh wait, the bechorah is a spiritual value. It's not a physical item. How much is it worth? Well, it's worth whatever honor you give it. How much kavod did Esav give his bechorah? Answer is the amount of a bowl of soup. And if that's what Esav valued in his bechorah, then that is the real value of his bechorah. That's the right price. It's very much up to the individual to determine the value of spiritual achievements and spiritual gifts. Famous Gemara that talks about the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. Gemara says, explaining a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the pasuk says, Mi ha'ish hacham, who is the wise person, ve'yaven etzot, that could understand this? Va'asher diber pi Hashem elav ve'yagida. Someone who has the mouth of God talking to him so he could tell us. There was a mystery in the generation of Yirmiyahu, the generation of the destruction. There was a secret and nobody could understand it. They said, could you find us a wise person that can understand this, someone that maybe God speaks to, that can tell us? What was their question? Alma avda ha'aretz. Why did we lose the Beit HaMikdash? Why did we get thrown out of Eretz Yisrael? What happened? What did we do? Gemara says, Davar ze amru hachamim velo pirshuhu. They went to ask all the hachamim, all the wise people, and they didn't know the answer. Why was the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? They didn't know. The hachamim didn't know, not the ignorant people. Amru nevi'im velo pirshuhu. They asked the prophets, and they couldn't understand. They didn't know. I just try to compare it to our time today. If, God forbid, a tragedy takes place, a small tragedy in a community, lo alinu ve lo alechem, and somebody gets up and says, could we think of a reason why this might have happened? You can ask any person. He'll probably come up with 100 reasons. Oh, it could be this. Oh, I'm sure it could be that too. They couldn't think of a reason. Could you imagine a generation that can't think of a reason? They can't even fathom why something like this would happen. But what did we do? The Hachamim can't figure it out. The Nevi'im can't figure it out. Says the Gemara, explaining the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem. Hashem has to say himself. It was so impossible to know the reason that God had to say it. God wouldn't say it if we're capable of getting it ourselves. Hashem stepped in and says, I'll tell you why. Al ozvam et torati. They left my Torah. So The question is obvious. If they left the Torah, how could the Chachamim not know that? What were they looking at? What were the Nevi'im looking to see? Such an obvious answer. Maybe I thought he's going to say that deep somewhere in their hearts, somewhere there's something that's not L'shem Shamayim, only God could see it. They forsake the Torah? That they couldn't see, they couldn't answer? Comes the Gemara and says, Shelo birchu batorah tehillah. Very famous words. Of course they learned Torah. They learned. They had plenty of learning. But they weren't making the berachot of the Torah. They didn't make the blessings before you learn Torah. The Ran writes in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, what does that mean? They didn't make the blessing. So he says, even though they were learning Torah, avalo haita hashuva be'enehem, it wasn't important to them. It wasn't important to them the way Torah is important. Obviously, it was important enough for them to learn it, but it wasn't the value of Torah, the real value of Torah. These are the famous words of Yirmiyahu and a Gemara to explain, which is very hard to understand for a very simple reason. Chachamim tell us that in that generation they were guilty of the worst sins. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shefichut Damim. What is going on here? What couldn't they find? And when they did find, they only found that they didn't make berachot. Makes them sound like a perfect generation. But what the Gemara was explaining and the Pasuk was saying, they knew about the terrible sins that were going on. But they also knew that there was a tremendous amount of learning of Torah at that time. It's possible to learn Torah and also to do the wrong things. But they know what Chazal tell us. Barati yetzer hara, barati lo Torah tevalin. Hashem says, I have created a yetzer hara that wants to take the person off their successful road, but I gave them a Torah, which is the remedy. Chazal tell us, Torah be'idana de'asikba. When a person is learning Torah, Torah protects the person. It saves the person. So what the Chachamim and Nevi'im couldn't understand, it's not that they didn't see the sins. They couldn't understand how they would sin if they were learning Torah. How could that be? Don't we have a guarantee? If you're learning Torah, it's going to protect you. It's going to be the medicine of your yetzer hara. How could they go out and do all these things when they're learning? And the answer came. The answer was, yes, they're learning. But they're not giving the Torah the proper kavod. And therefore, the Torah wasn't able to give them its value. Torah has a tremendous value. It could save you from so many things in the physical and the spiritual world. Yes, Torah is very powerful. But if you don't give it the value, so then it's not going to be able to do for you. That's what Hashem came to teach them. The same yesod, the same principle that we learned from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Listen to this Gemara in Masechet Yoma. The Gemara says that Rava, one of the great Emoraim, one of the greatest rabbis in the history of our people, can't go through a daf or two of Gemara without seeing Rava. The Gemara spoke about Rava when he was a Talmid. When he was a young Talmid in Yeshiva. Gemara says in Masechet Yoma that when Rava would leave his rabbi's presence, Rav Yosef, he would never leave him by turning his back to him. He would walk backwards. And the Gemara says that he walked backwards, and I guess sometimes, or happened once or more, that he got hurt. He hit something with the back of his feet and he was bleeding. And they told Rav Yosef, his rabbi, this is what happened to Rava, this is what he's doing. So Rav Yosef, his rabbi, says, Amar Lehu, he said to them, Yehera Ava Yehiratzon. Detarim Reshe Akula Karcha. This Rava is going to be a Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbeinu Hananel says he's going to be the person that the halakha is always going to follow him. And indeed, we follow Rava all the time, with the exception of a few places. So why did Rava become a Rosh Yeshiva? Why do we always follow Rava? Was he the biggest genius? Doesn't say that. But he had a tremendous hashivut for Torah. He had a tremendous respect for Torah and those who learned the Torah. That respect made his learning a whole different level of learning. That's why giving kavod to Talmidei Chachamim is such a big part of a person's growth spiritually. Torah tells us, Vehadarta pene zaken. You see a Talmid Chacham, you got to give him the respect. Stand up for him and whatever other respect you could do. What's the idea behind that? You know, giving respect to somebody could be damaging to the person you're respecting. It can make them want kavod. It can make them feel good about your attention, which is not a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't put such a stumbling block in front of people. You're singing for the rabbi. You're standing up for the rabbi. Not good for him. He needs to stay pure, l'shem shamayim. Every time he gets respect, maybe it's going to taste too sweet. And maybe next time he's going to want more of it. Comes the Torah and says, no, make sure you give him all the respect you can. Why? Obviously, the respect is not for him. It's for the Torah that he represents and that he learns. Because when you stand up for him, you'll be able to gain from him and from his Torah. You can't expect to gain from someone if you don't respect them. The words of the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat become so obvious and clear at this point. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, here he is, says Rava, Demokir Rabbanan, someone who gives kavod to Talmidei Chachamim, Havule Hatunata Rabbanan, he's going to have son-in-laws who are Chachamim. Someone who loves the Chachamim, his children will be Chachamim. They'll be wise people. I always thought to be a wise person, you have to learn. You have to teach your children about learning. You have to teach your daughters about the value of Torah. But this Gemara says, not like that. Rava says, oh, you want your children to be Chachamim? You got to love the Chachamim. You want your daughters to appreciate Hachamim, you have to respect the Hachamim. You'll be able to get from the Torah that you gave respect to, it will give back to you and your family. It will give back to your children and give back to your son-in-laws. Because you invested in it. What did you invest? Not money. No, kavod. You don't need money for this. Chazal tell us that even this extends to what happened with David HaMelech. That when he got old, the Pasuk says that the clothing he was wearing wasn't able to heat him up. Normally a person is cold. They put on something and they warm up. If it's not enough, they put on more. But David HaMelech, no matter how much clothes they put on him, it wasn't heating him up. He was freezing. Chazal tell us, oh, you know why this happened to him? Because when he was in a position to kill Shaul HaMelech, who was chasing him, David, of course, did not want to touch him. But he did want to tell him that he had the chance to kill him, and he didn't. So when Shaul was in the other room, taking care of his physical needs, David took his jacket, took his talit, and he cut a piece of it to show him that he was here. I could have, if you think I'm a bad person, I could have killed you. I didn't. Sounds like a very beautiful thing that he did. And I'm sure if we did that, we'd be rewarded olam haba till no end. But on David HaMelech's level, on his greatness, that was looked at as a lack of kavod for clothing. I guess he could have sent a message another way. Maybe he could have carved something in the ground. I don't know. Oh, you didn't have kavod for clothing? When you need clothing most, when you get older, it's not going to help you. That's how far this rule extends. Again, I don't think this is going to happen to us. But for spiritual people who understand the spiritual gift of clothing, for them, clothing is a whole different understanding. Perhaps this explains what took place with the students of Rabbi Akiva. I didn't see this anywhere, but I'd like to suggest. We know that Rabbi Akiva's students were all died in 24,000 of them during the time period between Pesach and Lad Ba'omer, according to Sfaradim, the 34th of the Omer. And Chazal tell us because they didn't give kavod to one another. Lo nahagu kavod ze baze. Sometimes people make a mistake to think that that means, oh, they belittled each other. It's not what it says. They did not belittle each other. They didn't put each other down. They didn't talk lashon hara about each other. It's not what it says. Lo nahagu kavod. They didn't give them the proper respect. They didn't walk in to the Bet Midrash and give the person the respect of a melech. If a king would walk in, an important person would walk in, you'd give him respect. Forget putting him down. You'd talk up to him. You'd give him a compliment. You'd give him a warm hello. You'd give him something that makes them feel that they're special. They didn't do that. They walked in and they sat and learned. They didn't do anything bad. They just didn't give the proper kavod. And for that, 24,000 gone. Seems to be a very heavy price for just not giving kavod to someone. But I'd like to suggest, What the Gemara says in Masechet Ta'anit, something very interesting, about a great rabbi who says, Harbe lamati merabotai. He says, I learned a lot from my rabbis. That's obvious. Who else are you going to learn from? That's the way Am Yisrael works. We had rabbis since Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu taught, and they taught theirs, their Talmidim, and then after their Talmidim, till today, we have a system. So a great man says, Harbe lamati merabotai. I learned a lot of Torah from my rabbis. Umehaverai, and from my friends, from my havrutot, yoter merabotai. I learned more than from my rabbis. Interesting. You learn more from your havruta than you learn from your teacher. On a simple level, simply, the teacher is not always learning with you. He doesn't have the same access that your friend has. You're spending most of your time with your havrutot, so you're learning from them. You're gaining from them. You have a question, they give you an answer. They give a proof, they knock out your proof. Okay, you're back and forth. You're learning more from your friends than from your rabbi. Again, this man learned a lot from his rabbis. He wasn't there for a few months. He learned a lot, but more from his haverim. I can just imagine in the yeshiva of Rabbi Akiva, this giant of a human being, one of the greatest humans that ever stepped on this planet. Just imagine being in his yeshiva. It's like being in front of the sun. You know what all the little lights feel like when there's a big, huge sun that's shining bright? It must have been hard for each young man to respect anybody else, to give kavod to anybody else, when Rabbi Akiva shining so bright. Perhaps that's why they found it difficult to give kavod zilaze. Who can compare to their rabbi? And you know what happens when you don't respect your friends? You can't gain from your friends. Not just in the Bet Midrash, but in general, we have so much to gain from the people in our lives. The people we spend time in our lives with, we have so much to gain from them on so many levels. But you're not going to gain from them if you don't respect them. How much will you gain from the people in your lives? According to how much you respect them. Husband and wife, how much will they gain from each other? According to the respect they have for each other. How much will you gain from your children? According to the respect you have for each other. That's right, even parents have to respect their children. They have to talk to them with respect. They could guide them, they could tell them no. They could lead them, but with respect. According to the kavod, that's how much you will get from the people that you share your life with, from your neighbors. How much will you gain from them? According to how much you respect them. In the street, they say, if you respect someone too much, they may start taking advantage of you. So you have to be careful not to give them too much respect. They're going to come and cash in. But that's not the reality. The reality is when you respect someone, they want to give you more. And their value becomes more. Perhaps that's why it was such a grave thing what happened with Rabbi Akiva's students. Because when they didn't respect each other, they weren't able to get the Torah from each other. They weren't able to get Umehaverai yoter merabotai. I learned so much more from my friends than my rabbi. They couldn't get that Torah. That Torah was not accessible to them because they didn't respect the people they're learning with. When you respect something, not only do you get tremendous value from it, but it speaks volumes of who you are as a person. According to what you respect is what you are. Shlomo HaMelech says, Matzref lakesef. You want to know the quality of silver. You put it in an oven called a matzref, and you'll be able to know what type of silver, or if it's silver altogether. It may look like silver, it may not be real silver. But the oven, the matzref, will tell you. Vekur lazahab, and when you want to know the value of gold, you put it in an oven called the kur. It will tell you if it's authentic, if it's real, if it's 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat, 21 carat. How else will you know what the quality of the gold is? Says Shlomo HaMelech, ve'ish, and a person, lefi mahalalo. How do you determine the value of a person? Who is this person? What's he all about? Lefi mahalalo, according to his praise. Now many will learn that and say it means according to the way people praise him. When his name comes up amongst his family and friends, how excited are they when they hear his name? Not what they say, forget what they say, but the excitement, measure the excitement. Lefi mahalalo. Do they get excited when they hear his name? Do you hear the halel coming out of their sound? That's what you know about a person. According to the music, according to the song. Doesn't matter what they say. Oh yeah, he's a good person. He's a decent person. He's a quality person. Forget that. What is the tone? What is the song that's coming with that? The excitement. Could you measure the excitement? That might be the translation that many will explain on this pasuk. You want to know who the person is? Throw his name out amongst people that know him and see what their excitement level is. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, not like that. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, lefi mahalalo, means according to what he praises. Ma'alot ha'adam lefi ma sheyehalel. See what gets him excited. That's who he is. Forget what he says. Forget what he does. What excites him? Im hu meshabeah ha'ma'asim ha'tovim. If he comes home and he is excited about the shiur, about the Torah that he learned, about the chesed that he did, or the chesed that he witnessed. If he's excited by the boy who was praying in the corner, who looked so sincere. If he's excited by the way the people respected the rabbi. Lefi ma sheyehalel, what excites you in life is who you are. You could say whatever you want out of your mouth, but that's not who you are. He says if a person praises the right people and the right actions, says Rabbeinu Yonah, teda, you should know, fact, ubahanta, you could check it, ki ish tovhu, this is a quality person, veshoresh hatzedek nimtza bo, he has the roots of greatness in him. Ki lo yimtza et libo, rak leshabeach et hatov ve'atovim tamid, bechol devarav. Because he's always on his lips praising the good things and the great people. You know why he's praising those things? Because that's who he is. Again, not the words, but the excitement. Anyone could praise with words. Who knows if that's real? But excitement doesn't have a fake way about it. You can't be fake excited. So when you give kavod, it's not just that you're giving value to what it is that you're doing, it also says a lot about who you are as a person. It speaks volumes of what you're made up of. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes, but it means your shoresh, your roots are really special. And when you talk about negative things, that's your shoresh. When you're excited by mahloket, when you're excited by things that aren't that great, that's who you are. And when you're excited about nonsense, then that's who you are. You're excited about a baseball game? Well, that's who you are. You're a piece of baseball game. You could play baseball, but you shouldn't be excited about it. Oh, you're excited about money? That's what excites you? So you're a piece of money. Not going to get you far in life. Doesn't make a great marriage, a piece of money. Doesn't make a great father, and definitely not a great mother. Those things don't really add value to what's important in life. Not in this world, and for sure not in the next world. So what do you get excited about? It says who you are. And a person has to kind of gauge themselves. Oh, why? I really do get excited by this. Why? So silly. That's who I am. I'm 50 years old. I'm still getting excited by a guy hitting a basketball in the net. Come on. That's what excites me. It does. What can I tell you? Okay, but that's not a good thing. It may take time to wean off of that. It's not a legacy that your importance in life is money, a car, a house, a game. It's not. It's not a real value. It's not something you would talk about by Levaya. It's not something that people would want to write on their tombstone. It's not something I would be proud for my father and mother. A person has to measure their value with their excitement. The Pasuk says regarding the burial of Avraham Avinu. When he passed away, it says, Vayirva, Vayamot Avraham. Avraham passed away, Beseva Tova, in a good old age. What is a good old age? Next pasuk says, Vayikveru Oto Yitzhak VeYishmael Banav. Yitzhak and Ishmael, his sons, buried him. Comes Rashi Alav HaShalom and makes an astounding statement. It, to me, is very innocent. Father passes away, his two sons bury him. It's very normal. Jews bury their parents. Goyim bury their parents. It's normal. Nothing happened here. Vayikveru oto Yitzhak veYishmael banav. They buried him. Comes Rashi and says, Mikan. Says from Shia, I hope you didn't miss it. Mikan, from here, we learned something. What did you learn? She'asa Yishmael Teshuvah. From here, you see that Yishmael made Teshuvah. Yishmael was not a great guy. Sarah had to throw him out of the house. It's a big deal. That's how bad he was. To get to the point where you have to throw a kid out of the house. And from here we see, he made teshuvah. How do you see he made teshuvah? Because he buried his father. People who are off the derech, they don't bury their parents. What's so special about him burying his father? Comes Rashi and says, Veholich et Yitzhak lefanav. He put Yitzhak ahead of him. It says, Vayikveru oto Yitzhak ve Yishmael. Yitzhak and then Yishmael, even though Yishmael is older. So if he put Yitzhak, if he understood that Yitzhak is someone special, if he understood the value of Yitzhak and he put himself second, he gave kavod to Yitzhak, says Rashi, we know he made teshuvah. Vehi seva tova. That's what it means when Avraham, it says he had a good old age. That Yishmael made teshuvah. What better thing than a father wants? Now, Yishmael did a lot of bad things in his life. I would have said that maybe he made teshuvah on one point. Okay, before he didn't, you know, amongst his many bad things is that he didn't respect Yitzhak or someone like Yitzhak. That was one of the issues that he had. So I would say from here, you see he changed that. Now he respected Yitzhak. But that's not what Rashi says. From here, you see he made teshuvah. How do you see he made teshuvah? Because now he changed one thing about his attitude towards Yitzhak. But according to what we're learning today, again, it's a very, very befitting understanding of this Rashi. When you start to respect Yitzhak, you're on your way to make teshuvah. It's only a matter of time when that respect for a great person like Yitzhak is going to pay off tremendous dividends in your life. Maybe Yishmael still may be involved in who knows what, but his shoresh, like the Rabbeinu Yonah says, his shoresh, his roots, it's on his way. It's all good. Because to respect Yitzhak and to say, you go ahead, my younger brother, you go ahead. You're more important than me. You're more hashuv than me. I respect what you are and what you do. That is the key to all teshuvah. You have that, it's just a matter of time. You're on your way. It may take a month, it may take a year, it may take two, but you're on your way. You're already on your way to make teshuvah. Hazal tell us, in Mo'ed Katan, Kol ha-bocheh, someone who cries, who mitabel and mourns al adam kasher, a good man passed away, a tzaddik passed away, and you have not a family member, not a student, not a rabbi of, just a person who knows about this Adam Kasher, and he cries, he feels the loss of such a person, and he sheds tears, Mohalin lo kol avonotav. He gets forgiveness on all his sins. It seems to be a very cheap price to get forgiveness for all the sins. I mean, there's Kippur, there's fasting, there's Teshuvah, there's Elul, there's Selichot, there's Aset Metshuvah, there's Yisurin. I mean, there's a lot of things before a person just says, okay, Mahol, erased. Shedding a tear can do all of that. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it really speaks the emet of who this person is. You can't make up a tear. If you're crying for such a loss, that means this is who you respect. This is what you consider valuable and important. And bringing that out into your life, bringing that hidden value you have inside of you in this situation raises your quality. Sometimes a person has something inside of them. They need to bring it out. Hashem allows us to bring out the things that we feel into the open. Like Avraham Avinu, Hashem wanted to bring out his ability to sacrifice for Hashem. So go sacrifice your son. Bring it out. When you bring out the tears about this person because you understand the loss of such a person, the value of such a person. You're someone special. Not only did you bring out the value that's in your heart, but certainly you're on your way to big things in your life. It's worthy that we erase your sins. So many times in life, we just miss the point. It's right there, and we miss it. You know, there's a midrash. Talks about Og Melech HaBashan. We've mentioned this midrash once before, I believe. Og Melech HaBashan was a very powerful king. He was a giant. He had a country that he was the ruler of. And the midrash in Bereshit Rabbah asks why his name is Og. It's a very interesting question. I don't know that we would have asked the question, but the Midrash does. What's this name Og? I guess like an odd name. Says the Midrash, his name is Og because once he went in the war of the kings, he went to tell Abraham that his nephew Lot was taken captive. And when he went to Abraham, he saw Abraham's empire of kindness and study and whatever Abraham was involved in. Abraham was a prince in the time. And when he got back home, I guess his friends and family saw him and he looked excited. They told him, why are you so excited? You look like you met somebody. He said, yeah, I met Abraham. I heard about Abraham. I saw him. They said, really? Like, what are you so excited about? He said, I tell you, when I was there, they were making ugot. They were making cakes. And I don't think I ever tasted cake like that. The ugot in this man's house, there's nothing like those ugot. He should open up a factory. Ugot, the cakes of Avraham Avinu, out of this world. So exciting. I gotta go back there. Get more ugot. That's why, says the Midrash, his name was Og. Because when he came to Avraham Avinu, he saw them making ugot. So that's why they named him Og for the rest of time. In the Torah, he's called Og. His family called him Og. Everyone calls him Og. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Imagine you go to someone's house and you ask him for an egg. Or you see him boiling eggs. I didn't even ask you for an egg. You're boiling an egg. Oh, you saw me boil an egg? From now on, they'll call you egg. What kind of midrash is that? His name became Og because he saw Abraham making ugot. But this midrash is very powerful, like all midrashim. Just have to know how to read it. The midrash is saying, this defined the essence of Og. You go to Avraham Avinu's home and you watch what's going on with that man. You see the midot on this man. You see his family. You see his work. You see his kindness. You see his wisdom. You see his dedication. You see his sacrifice. And all you're excited about is the cake. You didn't get excited about him, about what he's doing. You're an og. That's what you appreciate. That's who you are. Forever. That's your name. That's your legacy. You're a piece of cake. You're a piece of money. You're a few bricks. You're a basketball and a hoop. That's all you are. What excites you in life is who you are. Person goes to Eretz Yisrael, spends a week there, comes back all excited. Tell us, what'd you do over there? Like, what's special? What's special in Eretz Yisrael? He says, oh, I'll tell you, the falafel there's out of this world. Crazy falafel. The eateries, the restaurants in Israel, out of this world. You went to Israel and you're excited about restaurants? That's really very, very, very below the standard. You're called a restaurant. You're a falafel. In such a country, in such unbelievable things to notice, that's what you noticed? You didn't see the great Talmidei Chachamim. You didn't see the great Yeshivot. You didn't see the great history. You saw falafel? Come on. But that says a lot about the person. It's not a dig on the person. It's a revelation of the person. Nobody better than Og to know that we call them Og. So maybe he could change. We all know the famous story of Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah Imenu. The Torah tells us that because Sarah wasn't able to have a child, she gave Hagar to her husband Abraham to have a child. And we know what happened, that after she had this child, the Pasuk says, "Vatekal gevirta be'eneha," she started to have less respect for Sarah Imenu. Seems like something normal. She was a maidservant, but then she had a baby and she didn't, so she felt a little higher. Makes perfect sense. But if you look at Rashi, at the beginnings of when we hear about Hagar, the Pasuk says that Sarai, at the time, Vela Shivha Mitzrit, she had an Egyptian maidservant, and her name was Hagar. Why do we need to know where her ancestry came from? What do we care if she's Egyptian? Comes Rashi and says, this is not a regular woman. This was Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro. Hagar was a princess. Keshera'a nisim, when Paro saw the miracles, Shene'esa le'sara, whatever they were, even Paro was able to see these open miracles that happened to Sarah Imenu. Amar, he got excited and he says, Mutav, it's better, Shetehe biti, that my daughter should be Shifha bebaidze, better my daughter should be a maidservant to this woman, Velo gevira bebaid aher, and not to be the princess and the boss in a different house. He got so excited by Sarah Imenu that he said, I want my daughter to be her maidservant. Sounds unbelievable. That means she gave up her palace, she gave up her power, she gave up her friends, she gave up whatever it is. She could have been her own princess and eventually the queen to be the maidservant, to be a servant. That's quite a drop. Why? Because her father and her, I assume, were so excited by this great personality called Sarah Imenu. Because they saw the miracles that happened to her. So now that you know that, it's hard to understand why she would go down in her eyes. She sacrificed so much to be under this woman. Now she has a baby and everything is out the window. This is not a regular situation. We could say she gave up so much more than having a baby. The value of what she gave up is impossible to imagine someone giving up. And she still had respect for Sarah. Now she had a baby, she lost it. But the key words here is what Rashi says. Kishera'a nisim. You know what Paro and Hagar got excited about when they saw Sarah? They got excited about the miracles. But what about, did you get excited about Sarah? Did you see a woman like this in your life? Who was always calm, was always happy, that had such wisdom, that had such kindness, that had such unselfishness, that had such emet, that had such a... Hazal tell us about this woman, Kulam Shavim Letova, all her life was equally gorgeous, beautiful. She was the most magnificent human being. All you noticed is the miracles that happened around her. But that's what the Egyptian could see. That's what excites him. Because miracles show strength. Oh, you have power over the physical world. We see by Paro, who were the powerful people around him? Hartume Mitzrayim, the sorcerers of Egypt. That's what made an Egyptian excited. You have power over the physical world? Wow, you're special. That's what they noticed. They noticed the Nisim. They didn't notice the greatness of Sarah Imenu. And therefore, when she had more power, she brought a baby, she didn't. Ah, so she didn't feel she's so important anymore. She misunderstood the whole value of Sarah Imenu, and she couldn't get the real value of Sarah Imenu. She gave up her whole life to be under this woman, but for the wrong reason. And she didn't get out of her. Hagar did not succeed. Hagar could have been one of the imahot of Am Yisrael. No different than Bilha and Zilpah. She could have been one of the matriarchs of Am, the Jewish people. Maybe not exactly Sarah, but under, right there. Yishmael could have been one of the Shvatim. But she didn't get that. But she sacrificed so much to be there. But it was for the wrong value. She sacrificed for miracles when she should have been sacrificing for real goodness, for real value. When you don't have real value, even if you sacrifice for it, you won't get out of it. You could sacrifice for Torah. You could go and start learning day and night. You're sacrificing for Torah. But if you don't know the value of Torah, the real value of Torah, you may be sacrificing for something else. Maybe you like the way it looks. Maybe you like the way people talk about it. Maybe you like the status. Maybe you like who knows what. You like to talk about the Gemara. You like to argue. You like to write books. You sacrifice, but for the wrong thing. You're not getting the real value of Torah. We do that so many times with people. Just to give you like a wild example, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is one of the great, great rabbis in the last 300 years. You read his books, you go out of your mind just to see the greatness of this man. You see so much in his books. You see his humility. You see his striving for truth. You see his work. You see his everything. Just see so much beauty from the way he writes, from how he writes, from how he talks. Imagine a person says, "Ah, I love Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I love the language that he writes with. He writes so nicely." That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the guy who writes so nicely. You don't see the greatness of this man. Imagine he saw a great rabbi. Say, ah, he walks so nicely. I love the way he speaks. You love the way he speaks. That's what you love about him. You don't see anything else that you should love. You go visit, you go have dinner by a great man's house. You say, ah, I love the plates. The food was so good. That's what you loved. You didn't see the relationships. You didn't see anything else in this house. You didn't feel Kedusha in this house. Sometimes we value things, but they're like ogot compared to what the real value. And when we do that, we lose out. We don't get what we're supposed to get from the person, from the thing. It's like a person who goes to a most amazing art museum. And he comes back home so excited from all the art that they saw. And somebody asked him, tell me, like, what are you so excited about? He says, you know, the frames in this place, it's going to drive you crazy. You never saw frames in your life like this museum. So you missed the whole boat. You saw the frames. What about the art? The pictures, the $1 million pictures, the $100 million pictures. You're focused on the ugot. Hazal tell us, Al tistakel bakankan. Be careful in life. Be careful not to be excited about the bottle. Because the bottle is on the outside. Usually what excites people is what they see on the outside. And they get excited from it and they stop right there. Al tistakel bakankan. Don't get excited about the bottle. Ela bema sheyeshbo. Look a little deeper. Don't get excited by the miracle. Get excited by the person. Don't get excited by the cake. Get excited why they're making cake. So easy in life to be excited, even by good things, but just from the external. Hazal tell us very clear that this is a very big deal. Because bederech she'adam rotze lelech molichin oto. What excites you, what you like, what do you rotze? What do you want? What makes a difference by you? What lands on your brain? Molichin oto. That's where you're going to end up too. Your excitement leads you somewhere. It's not just a situation, a momentary situation that you got excited. Excitement has a lead up. You're excited by frames. That's what you're going to be excited by. That's where you're headed. You're excited by ugot. So you're going to be excited by food. You become a maven of food. Like a person once told me, it's one of my hobbies to eat food. Of course, I told him, Hazaku Baruch, that's beautiful. But it's so sad to have a hobby to eat food. That is very sad. Molichin oto. Molichin oto. What excites you is where you end up going. That's why it's so important when praising children, then one should praise them for their important qualities. We all know about praise, compliments, praise, but what do you compliment? Oh, I love your makeup. Not a reason. I love the dress. Not a reason. I love your kindness. That's a reason. I love how you were playing with your sister yesterday and you gave up the toy. It was so hard for you. I saw that. So special how you did that. So amazing how you woke up on your own yesterday. So beautiful how you answered daddy right away. praise them for things that are real value. To say nice dress, it's a nice thing. It's okay, you could say it, but that's not where the real value of your praise should be landing. Yes, if they don't feel so good about their dress, tell them it's nice. If they don't feel so good about their looks, you could tell them. But that's not what's building their real value. Point out to a child, to a young person, to an older person, point out what's really important. Molichinoto, they're going to appreciate it and they're going to also want to follow because they love you. They love their parents. They value their father and mother. They want to know what's important to you. Such opportunities we have when we praise children or we praise others in front of our children. Who are we praising in front of our children? Who is being spoken about with high regards on the Shabbat table? Molichinoto, that's where they're going. That's where you're going and that's where they're going because they're following you. You could tell your children all day long about how important it is to work hard and the value of learning and Torah. But when they see that excites you, what excites you is a watch. And what excites you is the car in the driveway. And what excites you is the meeting you had with that wealthy man. The pictures on your phone that show all the different exciting things in your life. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They measure your excitement and molichinoto. One day you'll wake up and the kid's not working hard in school, doesn't really care about many important things that you do care about, and you're wondering why. Because they measured your excitement, and they realized your excitement was for other things. You spoke about school, you spoke about learning Torah, and you spoke about all the important things, but you got excited about other things. The excitement is molichinoto, is what leads you and leads them. Children have this unbelievable ability to know the real truth of who their parents are. Very hard to fool your children. You could fool your friends, and you could fool your parents, and sometimes you could fool your spouse, but you can't fool your children. They see right through you. They're very, very, very clear. They have a very good sense of what's really important to you. One Avrech who lived next to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, was once bothered why his children didn't grow up to be such great people. And his neighbor, who was a simple Baal HaBayit, simple working man, his children became superstars. And he's learning all day and his children were not superstars at all, very far from it. It bothered him. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the great tzaddik, who happened to know this man pretty well. And he was able to be honest with him. And he thought it was very simple. He says, your neighbor, he's a simple person. But on his table, he's always talking about Torah and Talmidei Chachamim. This rabbi, oh, he's great. That rabbi, he's great. That person, that this. He says, you're an avrech. You're sitting learning all day. When a rabbi's name comes up, yeah, all right, whatever. What does he know, really? He's not really a rabbi. He's a rabbi, but like, you have to be careful. Is that really holding? You know, once you become a person who learns, you start having less, unfortunately, sometimes respect for the people around you. Because you're in the league, so becomes competitive. It becomes, now you're measuring. And maybe you're right, by the way, sometimes. Maybe they're not as great as you, or maybe they're not as great as others. But the tone in your home wasn't exciting about Talmidei Chachamim, and that's why your children ended up like that. The Gemara says that there was a family, the Bilga family, that lost certain rights in the Beit HaMikdash. Because once a girl, Miriam Bat Bilga, this girl ended up going off the derech and she married a goy, one of the kings of Greeks, of the Greeks. And when the Greeks, in the time of Hanukkah, when they came into the Hechal, she kicked the altar, the Mizbeah. And she says the following words, Lucas, Lucas. That means Ze'ev, wolf, wolf. Talking to the Mizbeah. Ad matai, how long ata mechalem amonan shel Yisrael? How long will you keep taking the money of the Jewish people? Ve'i ata omed alehem b'sha'at ha'dahak, and you don't help them. It's all about money over here. The Beit HaMikdash is all about money, 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 money. Bring this cow, bring this korban, give us mahasiyah shekel. When the Chachamim heard what this Miriam did, they said, this family, we have to keep them very far from us. The Gemara says, what? Because one girl in the family did something wrong, the whole family's out. Last question. Amar Abaye in, yes. Kid Amre inche, like people say, Shuta de Yenoka Beshuka, O de Avu, O de Ime. If you hear a boy talking in the street, it's either from his father or his mother. He heard that somewhere. That is an amazing Gemara. I'll tell you why. This girl went off the derech, and they didn't kiss the family. The girl married a Greek. They didn't kiss the family. Okay. She makes a comment to the Mizbeah, and they said, she's out. What's worse, going off the derech or saying a comment to the Mizbeah who has no feelings? What's worse, marrying a goy or kicking the Mizbeah? Why is that the item? That's it. Okay, the family's out. The answer is that when it comes to actions of a person, sometimes people have a weakness. They get pulled, they have a desire, whatever it is, they go off the derech, they can't control themselves. They get angry, they get upset. They marry someone. Not necessarily because of the family. It's possible it's a great family, but whatever, it happens, people have free choice. But when there's letzanut, when it's a belittlement of the Mizbeach, you're belittling a holy institution in the Jewish nation, you're belittling a great person or a great place, that letzanut, that comes from the home. Actions, not necessarily. But the tone, your lack of excitement, opposite. Not the excitement, the lack of excitement for the Mizbeah. You heard that somewhere. Molichinoto. You heard it. You heard in the house they're talking. Yeah, you know, money, it's all about money. You know, the rabbis, this, that. And that's what landed. Chachamim say, wait, this family is out. So important. What we are ma'arich. What we value is who we are. And it's where we're going to benefit from. and it's where we're going to lead ourselves and others. It's the shoresh, it's the root. Eshet hayil mi yimta. You see, a husband that knows the true value of a woman is going to find her in his wife. He is going to value what's valuable, and he's going to benefit from that value. He's going to lead himself towards that value and lead his wife towards that value. Where a husband leads his family, including his wife, that's where they're going. When he is excited by all the other things about a woman and not all the Eshet Hayil things, it should not surprise him that he will not find the Eshet Hayil in his house. He'll say, oh, my wife, forget it, she's not Eshet Hayil. Oh, wait, because you're going to find her. Mi yimta, do you know how to find her? Do you know how to say, do you know how to praise the right things in your home about what a woman is? Do you know how to tell your wife what's special about her? Do you know how to point out what makes her special? What's the sounds, what's the excitement in the home about the greatness of a person and the greatness of a woman? You must have not been praising all the right things. You must have not been getting excited about the right things. You got more excited about your car than about her dedication. You got more excited about your home than about her simchat hayim. You didn't talk about that. You didn't mention that in the home to your children and to her. Mi yimtza, is it a surprise you didn't find it? Of course you didn't find it. Because you're not looking for it. You don't know what to look for even. If you knew what you're looking for and you work to get it, you get there. She's an Eshet Hayil. You got to go find it. Mi yimtza. That's the issue. Knowing the real value and knowing how to praise the real value and knowing how to bring out the real value. Whether it's for a wife, whether it's for a daughter, and even for a son, that he should hear from his father, what's a great woman? Hopefully that's his mother. When you hear the excitement in the leader's voice, that's what everyone wants to be and wants to find. Mi yimtza, it's right there. Every woman is an Eshet Hayil if you can find it. This is one of the great obligations of a leader in their home, to turn the home into a place where real value is being chased after and real value is wanted, and therefore real value will be, who's going to be the biggest beneficiary? Himself. When you bring out the Eshet Hayil and you value that, the husband is the number one person that benefits from all the greatness of the woman that he found. It's a mission worthy for every person, whether they're getting married tomorrow or they're married for 100 years. It's worthwhile to bring out that tremendous value of the Eshet Hayil for yourself and for your future. Baruch Allah le'olam. Amen ve'amen.